what was the Rabban Shalom's intention when he authorized Moshe Rabbeinu to send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael? So the Pasha Pshat is that even though the war of Kibush Eretz Yisrael was going to be with Nisim and Eflois, Lamaylam and Ateva, and the Psukim say that the Oren Abis was Nasei Lefnehem, and Oren Abis was knocking out all the enemies, everything was Lamaylam and Ateva, but still we have an obligation to act with Hishtadlus, as if there were no Hashgacha Pratis. So we have to have Meraglim to try to figure out how to attack Eretz Yisrael, how we should wage the war in order to conquer. That's the Pasha Pshat. So Rav Soloveitchik has a drosha that somehow became very famous. The Mizrahi was distributing it, where he, in his drosha, he was explaining that in Tanakh, in different places, the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is described as one of a marriage. One of the many places is in the Gila Secha. It says, Hoysok Ya Almano. Rashi and Chumash writes in the Teuchachem Chukoisei, when the Jews will be sent into Golos, V'shamamah Aleho Oiveho. So Rashi writes, Eretz Yisrael is like a good wife that even though the husband went away for so many years, the wife waits for the husband to return. Hoysok Ya Almano, not an Almano. Almano can remarry. Eretz Yisrael is like a woman whose husband went to Medina Sayyam and she's so faithful to the husband, she waits and waits and waits 2,000 years till the husband comes back. So the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is described in different places, in Yecheskel and Novi, is described as one of marriage. If Bnei Yisrael are the chosen and Eretz Yisrael is the kava. So Rav Soloveitchik said, there's a din that also Lord of Makadosh HaSayish HaChi Yered HaTchilo. You can't get married till you see the kala. By us, it's usually not a problem. We go out on many dates before you get married. But by some Chassidic people, they don't go out on any dates. So the Gemara has a din. The first daf and the second perek in the Kiddushin. Also, Lord, Moshe Kadosh Yisrael Shad Shiren Atchila. Shem Yimtza Bo Dova Meguna. He may not like what she looks like later on. And he'll be a violation of the Hafta Racha Kamoicha. The Hafta Racha Kamoicha goes on everybody, but not to the same extent. It relates to my wife more so than anybody else. You have to love your wife more than you love your next door neighbor's wife. You have to love everybody, but not equally. So that was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion, that they sent a Meraglim representing the Shvatim, Losur Saoritz. What was that for? Because they're going to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a relationship like one of marriage. So also Lam Shikarish Suisha Achi Renatil. I don't know, but Rav Soloveitchik said so many other knockout drushes about Eretz Yisrael. I don't know why the Mizrahi only printed this drusha. There's a famous Targum Yonis and Ben Azil. The Gemara says in Megillah, Yonis and Ben Azil only wrote a Targum on Neviim. He wanted to write on Ksuvim, and a Baskol came out from heaven that they don't want him to, because if he would write on Ksuvim, he would be Megala when the Ketz HaYamin is, and the Baruch Shalom doesn't want that. So he only wrote on the V. We have something printed in Achumish, Chamishu, Chamishu Torah, that's called Targum Yonis and Menazil. So all the commentaries say that it's a misidentification. It's really tough, you Targum Yerushalmi. We have on the same page the Targum Yerushalmi, Targum Yonis and Menazil. No, it's another version of the Targum Yerushalmi. There are two versions of the Targum Yerushalmi. So whoever it is, there are a lot of problems with Targum Yonis and Menazil. Every so often he writes something that's mamish straight from the Karoim. So some say it's written by Karoim. And others assume, no, how can it be written by Karoim? So they touch up all, they have quite a few Svarim to try to work on all the problematic passages in Targum Yonis. So in today's parsha, there's one questionable Targum Yonis, and it's nothing to do with Karoim. The Pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu sent all of the Meraglim, so he changed Yeshua's name. Vayikra Moshe LaHashir Ben Nun Yehoshua. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, why did he change his name? He said, Ko Yoshiach HaMiyatzis Meraglim. He offered a tefillah on his behalf that he shouldn't fall in with the Meraglim. Okay. Yeshua Ben Nun was closer to Moshe Rabbeinu than the other, so he offered a tefillah on behalf of his close Talmud that he shouldn't fall in. So the Targum, Yonis and Menizil writes, Kadchoma Amasanusa de Yeshua. When he saw the humility of Yeshua Ben Nun, but then he changed his name. So what has it got to do with humility? According to the you put these two together? The Gemara says that he changed the name to Yehoshua Ko Yoshiach Meatzis Meraglim. Does the Yonis and Menizilah understand like that also, that that's why the name was changed? So why does he say when he saw how humble Yeshua ben Nun was? So the Velt says the following. There's a Tosefta Masechta Shabbos where they quote Rav Chaim ben Afkulas. There is a machlokes b'sham and b'silul, and the first daf in Beitza, the Gemara quotes it, and it's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. When you finish eating, what do you do with the chicken bones? The chicken bones, before Shabbos began, the chicken in the pot was Maichalodim. After you finish eating all of the chicken, if you don't leave over any chicken on the bone, if you eat up all the chicken, you're left with bones. So the bones are Michael Behema now. So it started off as Michael Adam, and it's considered Michael Adam Shinishtan Elias Michael Behema. Michael Behema per se is not Muktzeh, but Michael Adam Shinishtan Elias Michael Behema, that's a Shaila of Noilad. So that the Gemara says is a Machlekes Hatanaim Rabbi Reb Shimon, where the Noilad is Muktzana. Tosis says Bekama Mekayim is the first daf in Beitza, and other places they repeat it. If you have real Noilad Gomor, something Mamish came into existence on Shabbos, a big Panim Chadosh is Ba'olakan, a major change. Nothing can be created or destroyed. Things are just changing from one form to the other. But still, if you have a Noilad Gomor, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's Muktzah. If you have Noilad Sheino Gomor, that's Tosis terminology, then it's a Machloik Zabir Reb Shimon. So the Gemara quotes, this is a Machloikus Beshamai Bishilu. What do you do about that? Thomas a clipping on the plate. Everything started off as Michael Adam, and now you're left with Michael Behema. If you have a Thomas a clipping, then not even Royal Achilles Behema. Yeah, there are animals in Indonesia that would eat it, but we're not in Indonesia. We live over here. So if it's, let's say, dog bones that a dog would eat, even though you personally don't have a dog, and no one in your building has a dog, but the next door neighbor has a dog. In every community, there are dogs, there are cats. Okay. But if you live near the Bronx Zoo, so even if you have a Michael for elephants, it's also called Michael Behem. But if you live far away from the Bronx Zoo, it's only called Michael Behem if it's Roy Lachilas HaKelav, Roy Lachilas HaChasul, an animal that it's easy to find. So it's a Machloek, it's Besham Mesul, if it's Mukta or not, how do you handle it? So if the Sefer writes that there was a Tanar Abschar Ben Avkulas, he did Loike Besham or Loike Besilo. When he would finish eating, he would drop the bones directly into the garbage. Beis Hillel, question what the correct gears is. Beishamai Beis Hillel. So one school of thought is, Beishamai Beis Hillel, one school of thought is that the bones are not muktzeh, and you pick up that tzomus klipin and throw them in the garbage. The other school of thought is no, that you have to pick up the whole plate and tilt it like this because you're not allowed to pick up the bones because the bones are muktzeh. So he didn't want to do either. He didn't want to get involved in machlokes. He had a midas chassid. He didn't want to take a stand. So he would always eat near the garbage. And when we finish eating, he would drop the bones into the garbage direct. So the Tosefta says, it's his fault that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So this is explained in the Gemara in Gittin, that there was this story with Kamtza Bar Kamtza, and the one who was hurt was angry, so he wanted to massa to the government on the Jewish people. He wanted to get all the rabbis into trouble, because the rabbis were there when when the other fellow hurt his feelings, and the rabbis didn't say anything. So since they weren't moicha, so shmam, you know, that it doesn't bother them, the fact that he's so insulted. So he told the keser that he should send a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. So the din is you can accept karbanas from the non-Jews, provided they don't have a mum. So he made a mum on the korban. So the goy will understand if you have a mum, they can't be makar of it. But when goyim are makar of karbanas, they only are worried about the major mumim. Minor mumim, they're not worried about. So he made a minor mum that by us is considered a mum, and by the goyim is not considered a mum. So he had the keser send the korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and his wise guy made a little mum. And when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they said, wait a minute, we can't be makar of this, it has a mum. But then they're afraid, the keser is going to get angry. The Jews are more than malchus, they're not makar of his korban. So they said, maybe it's pikuach nefesh, maybe we should be makrivit, even though it's an isut. Pikuach nefesh is lechef, there's a svek sveka of a safik sakana, so you're allowed to do an avera, so let's be makrivit with the mum. So Reb Chaim ben Afkulas was the biggest talmid chacham available at the time of the korban. So he said, no, you can't be makrivit mishum pikuach nefesh. People will think, yomru balimum and kravim al gabi hamizbech. People will think you're allowed to be makrivit balimum. So then they said, so let's go kill the masa, because he's gonna masa to the government. We're not gonna be makar of it, so let's kill the masa. He wants to put our lives b'sakana. So he said, no, we can't do that. Yomru, people will think that whoever is matal mum bekotchim is chaybis. So he can't do this, and he can't do that, and can't do the other thing. So what are you going to do? So they were makrib the carbon, and then the Kesa got angry, and then he killed all the Jews. So the Gemara says, Amasonusa shab schay ben atkulas. It doesn't mean so much humility. It means you didn't want to take a stand. Sometimes you have to take a stand. Some people never want to take a stand. Whenever there's machlek, because you got to go to chumrah. Whenever there's a chashash, you got to make a gzeirahin and a gzeirahin, and everything has to be gzeir. So sometimes it's not so smart. Sometimes you have to be makel. So you have to not makel against the din. You have to take a stand and say the din is koch nefesh is deicha. The din is that a maser is chayv misa. You kill a maser. He never wanted to take a stand. So the Tosef de Masecha Shabbos says his not taking a stand on the Beisham Beisilo is indicative of his style of living. He never wanted to take a stand on any issue, and he always avoided taking a stand, and it's his fault. So that's what the Velt says on this Targum Yonis and Ben Ezil. When he saw that Yeshua ben Nun had that kind of anivus, doesn't mean so much humility. It means anivus in the sense he doesn't like to fight with other people. He doesn't like to take a stand. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. He's a goody-goody, Yeshua ben Nun. So he's going to give in to the Meraglim. The other 10 Meraglim are going to say, we should stay behind in the Midbar. We shouldn't go conquer Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid he's going to give in to the others. Sometimes people don't assert themselves. People, humble people, sometimes don't assert themselves. And then they go along with what the other people say. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu gave him this brach. That's how the belt says. Many say like that. That's the Taichin that... In the end of Parsha Shlach, you have the mitzvah of tzitzis.
So I was wondering, how does that go with Yeshua's taking a stand against Eldad Meida? It seems like he was very forthcoming there.
He thought that the Pogea and the Kavada Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, according to the Medrash, they said Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnes. So he felt very hurt. What do you mean? My Rebbe is going to die and I'm going to be the leader of the Jewish people. He thought that his Rebbe was not going to die to live to keep his Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. In the news this week and in the last couple of weeks, they keep on having all of these scandals about the people in high positions in government with all the prostitutes. So there's I think it's a Malbim on the Haftorah of Parsha Shlach. Why did the spies go to Rochav Hazaina? So the Pirush Rashi on Sefer Yeshua has two interpretations, I think, whether Rochav Hazaina means she was really a prostitute or she sold mezainas. She had a restaurant and she sold mezainas. If you should assume that she was really a prostitute, so why did they go to her? So the Malbim has a comment there. The prostitutes know all of the government secrets. And Yeshua ben Nun sent it to Meraglim. They wanted to find out what do the government officials think about the fact that the Jews are about to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Is the government petrified, or are they going to defend themselves? They're going to fight back. So the best way to find out is to go to the prostitutes. They know all the secrets from all the congressmen and from all, unfortunately, from the Rosh HaMemshalah, from the mayors, and from the presidents. They know all the secrets. Unfortunately. The Jewish people are supposed to be Or LaGoyim in that area. We're not supposed to be Or LaGoyim in Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpat. We're supposed to be Or LaGoyim that our Chavrei HaKnesset don't go to prostitutes and they don't take bribery. Unfortunately, we haven't yet reached that Madrega. Yeah. So at the end of the parsha, you have the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the Torah says we should wear the tzitzis. This should remind us of all of the mitzvah. Rizmo says, Chartam is called mitzvah Hashem. How are you supposed to remember? So the Pasha Pshat is, when you wear a special uniform, so you know that you're an Eved Hashem. You have to wear tzitzit, so that's you dress differently from everybody else. So Rashi has a different suggestion. Tosfos and Menachos talks about the Pirush Rashi. Rashi says that there were 613 mitzvahs, Taryak mitzvahs. That's the premise of so many of the Sifri HaGaonim, the HaRishonim. They all work on the premise that there were 613 mitzvahs, and they wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs to try to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. The first comment that the Ramban has in his Asagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs is, how do we know that we should break our heads to figure out that 613? There are such midrashim Torah Tzivul Anam Moshe, Torah Begimatria is 611, and Anochi V'liyachami Piagvura Shemaynam, so 611 mitzvahs Tzivul Anam Moshe, and the other two, Anochi V'liyalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told us that adds up to 613. That's a Gemara in the end of Makkah. So the Ramban says, who says that everybody agrees to that Gemara? Maybe there are other Tanoim who say that there are more or less than 613. So how did all the Goyim and all the Rishonim know? They write such a vast literature on the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the Ramban says, apparently, it appears in so many Midrashim, apparently that seems to be the accepted opinion. Okay. So Rashi has a famous comment that Tzitzis Begimatria is 600, Tzadik Yud is 100, Tzadik Yud is another 100, Tuf is 400, so Tzadik Yud, Tuf is 600, and then Rashi says you have 8 strings, that's a Machlekes, Bisham and Bishilo. Machlekes, but you have 3 strings that you fold over, that's Bishilo. Bisham say you have 4 strings that fold over, and this is one of the 6 cases where Tosfos quotes from the Siddur of Avraham Gaon that we follow Bishamai. In the first parak in Shabbos, there's a Mishnah that there are Yudches Gzeris. There are 18 cases where the Bishamai outvoted the Bishilo. So that we know there are 18 Gzeris the Rabbanim. In addition to the 18, so the Tosfos in Sukkot of Gimel Amar Aleph quotes the Siddur of Avraham Gaon, where he writes that there are an additional 6 cases. It is one of the 6. That's what we mentioned. The Gemara says that Rabbi Baba Chana was traveling in the desert and he had an Arab tour guide. So the tour guide showed him the Mesa Midbar, the Jewish dead bodies. So when he came back to the yeshiva, and he was telling him about the whole experience, what he saw on his travel. So they asked him, did you check the tzitzis of the Mesa Midbar to see whether they had 6 strings or 8 strings? So he, whether like Bishamai, like Bishil, what did they do in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Archaeological evidence, what did they do? So he said it didn't occur to him. So they said, what an idiot. Rabbi Bachana, tipish. You're there already. You see the Mesa Midbar. Should have checked to see what it looks like. The Gemara says he was, the Amorim said it was a tipish that he didn't see. So Rashi says that Tzitzis Begimatria is 600, and there are 8 strings. It's only according to Beishamai. That's the accepted opinion. And then there are 5 knots. So 8 and 5 is adds up to some total of 13. So that's 613. Where there are 5 knots. So Rashi holds that you make 4 units and you make a double knot at the Kesher Elyon Daraisa, you make a knot connecting the chutim to the beged, and then you make a double knot after each one of the 4 chuyas. Our meaning is we do 7, 8, 11, 13. But for many generations they didn't do that. So Rashi says you should have 4 units and you're going to have 5 knots. Not everybody agrees to all of this. That Tosfos has a famous discussion that tzitzis and chumash is never spelled tzadik yud tav. It's always spelled tzadik yud tzadik tav. So how does Rashi make a gematria of a misspelling of a word? So Tosfos stands on the head and it says, "Voylechem litzitzis the lamed." The lamed is 30. So you're missing a yud 3 times. The yud from tzitzis. So Tosfos says you divide the lamed into 3 and you add on another 10 tzitzis. So whole shver avot. Rabbi Yoyne Reis, the new Menayel of the Yeshiva, introduced a new thing that all of the boys who apply for smicha honors, that's a lot of money, have to submit, not only have to be interviewed by a panel of people, they have to submit a dvar. So one of the guys submitted, and the dvar Torah read by a judge, by different readers, different book. I forgot already who, so someone submitted, I don't know who, someone submitted a whole dvar Torah on this tesis, with the gematria, with the tzitzis, with the lamed, with the whole thing. I don't know if he got the smicha award, but it's a strange topic to write a dvar Torah about the gematria. So it's strange. Urisim also is chartum is chal mitzvah Hashem poshe pshat. We're wearing special uniforms, so we'll remember that we are avodim to HaKadosh Baruch. So Rashi says urisim also is chartum. We'll remember the 613. Every time you look at the tzitzis, you're supposed to remind yourself of the gematria, that the word tzitzis is 600. You're supposed to realize there are 8 strings and 5 knots adds up to 613. You think about that, according to what Rashi said. People have that in mind, the gematria of 613. Complicated. Dr. Tversky, the psychologist, is all excited about the fact that there's some kind of a test that they have different shades of blue. They do tests on it to determine what depth of blue it is or something. So when they, the new trailers, is number 613. Mm-hmm. That's what that's, his neighbor in Ephrat told him that, and he went into ecstasy. He was all excited. That's what it means. Arisa Moisai, you should remember the 613 mitzvahs. Okay. It's a chiddush. We discuss from time to time regarding Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sometimes there's an issue whether you count something as one mitzvah or as two mitzvahs. So the Rambam has a discussion in the Sefer HaMitzvahs on the Abaye. Abaye says there seems to be a contradiction between Parshas Emor and Parshas Re'eh regarding Sfiras HaOmer. One version said in Parshas Re'eh, I think it says Shiv Shavuos Tispaloch. You should count weeks. And in Parshas Emor it says Esfatan Lachem Chamishim Yom. You should count the days. So which is it? Do you count the days or do you count the weeks? It's a contradiction. The Abaye says they're both correct. There's no steer. Mitzvah the Mimni Yoimi or Mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. There's a mitzvah to count the days, a mitzvah to count the weeks. So that's what we do. Let's end the 21st day of Sfiras HaOmer. We say today's the 21st day, and that adds up to 3 weeks. So we count the days and we count the weeks. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has a machlokes, but are the Rishonim. Abaye's lashon is mitzvah the Mimni Yoimi, mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. It sounds like it's two different mitzvahs. So you should count it as two different mitzvahs in the minyan of mitzvahs. So the Rambam is very upset about those, and he has a long arichas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, no, it's only one mitzvah. And he makes a deal in the Lashon HaGemara, this simple Lashon, mitzvah the Mimni Yom, mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot, sounds like a mitzvah to do this and a mitzvah to do that. Somehow the Rambam made a kvetch. The way Abaye said, you see it's one mitzvah. How do you see it's one mitzvah? I don't know. He makes a deal. Then he says, nobody says two brachas. The fact that you only say one bracha is a dead giveaway that is one mitzvah. So some Rishonim say that Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim and the Sefiras HaOmer was there. I said, the Takkah said two brachas. It's only Bizman HaZeh, the Rabbein Yerucham says like that. Two mitzvahs and you say two brachas. It's only because Bizman HaZeh, Rabbein Yerucham holds this was his girsa in the Gemara. We don't have this girsa in the Menachos. His girsa was that Bizman HaZeh, only the Sefiras HaYomim is there. I said, the Sefiras HaShavuos is only the Rabbanon. The way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, there was a Machlokes Hamoraim where the Sefiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is there. I said the Rabbanon. Because it says you count Sefira Miyom HaViyach Mesayim Machtufo, from the day that you bring the Minchas HaOmer. The day you bring Minchas HaOmer, first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, but Bizman HaZeh nobody brings the Minchas HaOmer. So does it mean from the day you actually bring the Minchas HaOmer? So Bizman HaZeh there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Minchas HaOmer. So the whole Sefiras HaOmer is only Zechel HaMikdash, only the Rabbanon. But he'd say, no, that's the calendaric day on which you theoretically obligated to bring the Minchas HaOmer. So the calendaric day we experienced, the 16th day of Nisan, so you should count Ben Atar. That's the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara. The Machlokes is, but the whole Sefiras HaOmer institution today is the Raisa the Rabbanon, and in Shulchan Aruch the accepted opinion is that it's only the Rabbanon. The Rambam follows the Goyim that the Maskana, they understand the Maskana Sasugya that is their Raisa. And Tosis quoted in the Shulchan Aruch assumes that the Maskana Sasugya Menachas, Dav Samach Zayin, is that Sefiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanon. So the Rabbi Yerucham was a Talmud of the Rosh. He has a different Girsa in the Gemara. He has, his Girsa is that the Sefiras HaShavuos Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanon, Sefiras HaYomim is the Raisa. I think we spoke about it, Bishaita, that he. The Gemara says that if you didn't bring the Oilas Riyah and the Shalmi Chagiga on Shavuos, there's Tashlum and you can bring it the next 6 days. So the Gemara says, how do you say such a thing? It's a Mishnah Chagiga. The Gemara says, how can you say that? Bishleim of Pesach, Pesach is for a duration of 7 days. So if you didn't bring the Oilas Riyah, the Shalmi Chagiga on the first day, you can bring it the rest of the days. And Sukkot, all the 7 days are Sukkot. In Shmini Atzeres also is Tashlumen for Sukkot. But Shavuos is only a Yontav of 1 day. So how did the Mishnah know that there's Tashlumen for the 6 days following Shavuos? So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, mitzvah the Mimni Yomi, mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. The purpose of Sefiras HaOmer is to be Koveya Shavuos as a Yontav. So you count days, that whatever you're counting, so that's the unit that you're going to establish Shavuos. So you count the days, 1 to 49, so the next day is going to be Yontif. Then you count the week, so that the next week should be Yontif. So Shavuos is both a Yontif of 1 day and a Yontif of 1 week. What do you mean? You're not allowed to do Melacha for a whole week? No, it's not a Yontif for Melacha. It's not a Yontif for Hakrobas HaMusafim, of a Yom HaBatal Karbana. You have to bring the Karbanas on Shavuot. You can't bring the day after. But it's a week-long Yontiv with respect to the Oil HaSvi and the Shalmech HaGiga. That's the Mitzvah and the Mem the Yomim, Mitzvah and the Mem the Shavuot. So Rabbi Yerucham says, that's only relevant Bizman Shabbos and Mikdash HaYakayim. So you want to make Shavuot into a Yontiv of a whole week for the purpose of Tashlumin. But Bizman Shabbos and Mikdash HaKayim anyway, you're not going to be able to bring any Oil HaSvi and Shalmech HaGiga anyway. So what do you mean? You're establishing the Yontiv as a whole week. It's only a one-day Yontiv. It's only relevant for us for the purpose of Isa Malacha and eating cheesecake, whatever. What's the significance of Shavuot? Eating bilchiks? And we daven Musaf, that's also. You can only daven Musaf on Shavuot. You can't daven Musaf the next 6 days. There's no Tashlomet for Musaf. All Halacha that you can bring the Oil HaSvi and Shalmech HaGiga for a whole week, it doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. So that's Rabbi Yerucham's gears in the Gemara. That doesn't correspond to our gears. His gears in the Gemara is that the mitzvah to count the days is the Reis of Bizman Hazeh, and the mitzvah to count the weeks is only the Rabban. So he writes Beferish, Rabbi Yerucham writes, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, and they were both the Reis of the counting of the days and the counting of the weeks. He's re-establishing, he says they probably said two brachas, because they're two different mitzvahs in the minyan on mitzvahs. Bizman Hazeh, you do a svira, you count the days as the rice and the weeks as the rabbanon, so ginuk, it's enough if you say one brach. But when it'll be revert back again, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYabanoi, and it'll become back again, and then the rice of both counting of the days, counting of weeks, we'll taka say two brachas. That's how Rabbi Yerucham writes. So that's a machlokes. The Rambam has a whole arichas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he thinks that Abai's statement, mitzvah the mim in the yomi, mitzvah the mim in the shavui, means that the two parts of one mitzvah, they're not two distinct mitzvahs. And the Rabbi Yerucham disagrees.
So the Rabbi Yerucham, if you were to only count the Darabana factor on one day, only count the week, if you didn't count the day, could you continue counting nowadays the bracha?
Good shayla. I don't know. He probably doesn't hold like the Bahag, but I mean, halacha lemaisa, how many chumras are we going to adopt? I don't know. We really don't hold like that Bahag. Bahag is of the opinion, if you miss one day, you can't continue to count. But because the Bahag came from the Tkufas HaGadim, so we have respect to his opinion to the extent that we don't want to say a bracha. We don't want to violate his opinion to the extent of saying a bracha. But as long as, according to some, you did some Sphira Saimer, so then we're not worried about the Bahag. He probably would be able to continue to count with a bracha. You have another machlokes harishanim, right? Tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. You count them as one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. So the Rama makes a big fuss. Tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. The Mishnah says in Menachas, and not the akvim zeh. If he only has one without the other, he puts on the one that he has, and he says a bracha on the one that he has. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says this klal dalad minim shebelulav. He says I'm a akvim zeh. The same Mishnah in Menachas says. So he thinks that that's an indication that the Dalad Ninim is one mitzvah. But Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh, Ein Akvim Zezeh, so that's an indication that it's two distinct mitzvahs. The other Rishonim disagree. They say no. Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh is one big mitzvah b'shleimusa. And if you have one without the other, you're mekayem mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. Let's say you'll do chalitza. So chalitza has three parts to it. The Yavama has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the Yavama. She has to spit on the floor in front of the Yavam, and she has to recite Psukim, and the Yavam has to recite Psukim. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. So one Tana is of the opinion that all three are Ma'akev. She's missing the Kriyas HaPsukim. She's not Menteres Lehinasi Lashuk, because everything is Ma'akev Zezeh. Another Tana holds no. Kocha Yeyosa Leish. Kocha means Yikuva. Yeyosa de Asiyas Ali Yikuva. The Kriyas HaPsukim is not Leikuva. But the Rikika would also be Miyakev. And we don't paskin like either of these two Tanai. We paskin only the Chalitzas HaSandal is Miyakev. Neither the Kriyas HaPsukim nor the Rikika Ali Ikuvim. So that's a mitzvah Bishlei Musa, is to do the Chalitza with the Rikika, with the Kriyas HaPsukim. And if you do the Chalitza without the Kriyas HaPsukim and without the Rikika, so it's a mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa. So here, the Rambam, it's not 100% like the Rambam. The Rambam has this klal. He thinks, Dalad Minim Shebelulav, Ameakvim Zezeh, so that he thinks that that's an indication that that's one mitzvah. But Tfinil Sheyat, Tfinil Sherosh, are not Meakvim Zezeh, so that shows us two mitzvahs. So now the Rishonim disagree. They say, no, but there's a Seder Lachatchila. You have to put on first the Sheyat and then the Sherosh. So if the two distinct mitzvahs are related, so why is there a seder lachatchila? We have a seder in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Mechaber, first you put on the talis, then you put on the tefillin. And Shagasai argues, maybe fakir, why shouldn't you first put on the tefillin, then put on the talis? That's based on Torah v'sheinu Torah, Mikudosh v'sheinu Mikudosh. You have rules and regulations about if a person is prepared to perform two mitzvahs. As far as he's concerned, he can either do A and then B, or B and then A. He doesn't, to him, it doesn't make a difference. We have rules and regulations, which mitzvah should you do first, which mitzvah to do second. But over here, about Tefillin L'Shayyad and Tefillin L'Shayyad, it's not based on the universal rules of Torah V'Shein and Torah, Mekudosh V'Ein and Mekudosh. The more Mekudosh is the Shal Rosh. So why do you do the Shal Yad first? No, it's a Pasuk. K'shartim L'Os Al Yadecha, and only afterwards, V'Hayura, T'Tov is Bein Enecha, B'Zman She Bein Enecha, Yiyu Shtayim. When you put on the Shal Rosh, you should have both. So since it's a Seder L'Chatchilin Hilchas Tefillin, not a Seder from Perikola Todir, but if you have two mitzvahs to do, how should you arrange the Seder of the two mitzvahs? Here it's a Seder within the mitzvah of Tefillin. So it sounds like it's one mitzvah. That's what those who disagree with the Rambam, and they hold that Tefillin Shayyad, Tefillin Shayyad is one mitzvah. That's what they bring as a Hoichocha. The Rambam holds that it's two mitzvahs, and nonetheless, the Rambam holds you only say one bracha. Some Rishonim say it's two mitzvahs, you got to say two brachas. The Rambam holds it's two mitzvahs, you say one bracha. But l'shitosa, according to the Rambam, that it's two mitzvahs, how come you don't say two brachas? So the Kesa Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam, he quotes the Rishonim, the Tshuvas HaRambam writes like this. There's a Tosefta in Brachas, where it belongs. Tosefta in Brachas says, when a person is about to be mafrish chala, so he should say, Asher Kedoshem Tassano, Allah Frash Hastruma, because the correct bracha should really be recited in biblical Hebrew, not in slang. So when we're mafrish chala, we call that hareza chala l'Hashem alakol. We call it chala. In biblical Hebrew, the word chala means the iso. And when you take out, it's not the chala. What sits the whole dough is called chala. What you take out is torim truma l'Hashem. It's called truma. So since in Yiddish, we call it chala. In Mishnayis, the Tanoim didn't speak Yiddish, but whatever slang they spoke. So in the days of the Tanaim, that's called challah. What you take out is called challah. But in biblical Hebrew, that's not called challah. So that's why here for the Rishonim say, you shouldn't say, Asher Kedoshanim Tassvan Allah Froshas challah. That's the slang. You should say, Asher Kedoshanim Allah Froshas Truma. So the Tosefta says there are four things that are called Truma. We have the din if a person eats non-kosher food, he only gets Malkus if he eats a Kazayas. One Tana holds the kosher hula Malkus. You have Malkus even if you eat a chatzishir, Mishneh Malkus, and we don't pass like that. You have to eat dafka kazayis. What if the fellow eats a half a kazayis of chazer and a half a kazayis of basa b'cholim? Two unrelated isurim. So there's a machlekes satanayim, and we pass in any isurim mitzdar from zeh mzeh. In order to get Malkus, you have to eat a kazayis of one isur. If you eat a half a kazayis of one, half a kazayis of another, you're not like it. It's not mitzdar from yachad. But what if I'm not a kohen? I happen I'm not a kohen. And I eat a quarter of a kazayis of truma, a quarter of a kazayis of challah, a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of a kazayis of maisa mena maisa, trumas maisa. When you give the maisa rishon to the levi, it says in next week's sedra, no, korach, the end of korach, says that the levi has to take out maisa mena maisa and give it to the kohen. V'nechshol lechem trumaschem, when the levi is mafresh trumas maisa, that has the same status as Kadogan menagorin mechamleh menayekev, has the exact same status as truma. So the Mishnah says this is a Mishnah me'ila. When the Mishnah says that the eini surim mitzar from zemzeh, unless it's all shem echad, unless it's all the same isa. So the Mishnah says that these four are shem echad: truma, chala, bikurim, and ma'isa menamaisa. All four are exactly the same status of truma. They're all basa lazar. So if the Tzar, the non-kohen, eats a quarter kazayis of one, a quarter kazayis of the other one, a quarter kazayis of the third one, then it's been star from Yachad. So there's a Tosefta in Brachas that says the farmer is about to be mafrish all four. Awkward, Bikurim is mafrish when he's in the farm. On the farm. And the Chali is mafrish when you so the wife is making the Chal. So Hechetim, it's a funny case. The farmer is about to be mafrish all four. Bikurim, and Chala, and Maiser, and Amaiser, and Chumah. So the Tosefta says, "Alozav, one bracha. What do you have to say? Four brachas. One bracha applies. Hashem says, Allah frashas truma. One bracha can cover the clearly four different mitzvahs. And the minyan on mitzvahs is a mitzvah to be mafish chala, a mitzvah to be mafish truma, and a mitzvah on the levi to be mafish chumas maisa, and a mitzvah to be mafish bikurim. four distinct mitzvahs, but since one bracha fits on all four, you wouldn't kvetch. There's a machlokes satanaim. A person is about to put on talis and tefillin. So there is an opinion in the Gemara, say, Asher Kedushan Tosanu, l'kai mitzvaysav. So we don't pasken like that. We pasken, no, you say a separate bracha on a talis and a separate bracha on a tefillin. You don't just say a vague bracha. But here, you can say a bracha mefureta, salaf rashas truma, and then it fits in with all four, for the challah and the bikurim and the trumas maisa and the truma gedailo. So that's the problem. So that's why the Kesem Mishnah quotes the trumas haram. That's why the Rambam, despite the fact that he holds that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two distinct mitzvahs, because they makdim zezeh, so that shows that they're two distinct mitzvahs. But nonetheless, the Rambam says you cover both with one bracha. Rashi holds like that, Rashi and the Rambam. We usually follow the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara differently. That if you don't talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, and you say one bracha on Shal Yad and one bracha on Shal Rosh, the two different mitzvahs. And if you did talk, then you got to say two brachas on the Shal Rosh. But the Rambam and Rashi learned not so. If you didn't talk, both Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are covered with one bracha. So they ask, but if it's two different mitzvahs, why shouldn't you say two brachas? So the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Tshuvas HaRambam. No, even if it's four different mitzvahs, Chalan, Tshuva, Bikurim, and so on, Maisa, Mera, Maisa, but the Bracha Mufureta, Sabah, Frashas, Tshuva fits in. So your Tefillin is also like that. So that's why it's a Pella. Nobody understands. How did the Rambam prove in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that mitzvah, the Bim, the Yomi, mitzvah, the Bim, the Shavui, and the Sphere Simon, the counting of the days and the counting of the weeks, is one mitzvah against the Rebbe in Yeruchem, Buharaya, that no one ever heard that you say two brachas? Why should you say two brachas? Even if there will be two mitzvahs, you should only say one bracha. Al-Svir Saimer is a bracha mefuretas, and it relates both to the counting of the days and the counting of the weeks. So how did the Rambam prove in the fact that there's only one bracha, that it's only one mitzvah? Even if it would have been two mitzvahs, according to the Rambam, Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are two mitzvahs, and you still only say one bracha, because the bracha mefuretas of L'Haniach Tefillin applies to both.
If we put on Rashi's tefillin, why don't we make
one bracha?
If we're putting on Rashi's tefillin,
we're
going to make
a bracha
like Rabbeinu Tam.
No, on each machlekes we pasken how we hold. So on tefillin we pasken like Rashi, we say to our parshas. Then there's a shaila, how many brachas you say? So there we pasken like Rabbeinu Tam. Yes, there's no stira. On each issue you have to pasken like the consensus. So here you have a mitzvah of Tchelus and a mitzvah of Lovan. So this is a machlokes HaTanaim, Rebbe and HaChachamim. Rebbe is of the opinion Tchelus makevus as HaLovan, Lovan makevus HaTchelus. Let's say you make all the four strings will be Tchelus. You have no Lovan at all. You make all the strings, all the four strings are white, you have no Tchelus at all. So Rebbe is of the opinion you're just not yet in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only fulfilled if you have part of them Lovan and part of them Tchelus. The Balamor, in his commentary on the Rif, on Perek Bamem Adlikin, the second Perek on Masech HaShabbos, Paskins like Rebbe. He Paskins that Tchelus Makevus is HaLovan, and Lovan Makevus HaTchelus. And the Melchamis writes over there, the Ramban lived after the Balamor. So the Melchamis writes there, B'Shamanu, he heard, the Ramban lived in a different country. Balamor learned B'Chabrusa with the Raven. So they lived in Provence. And the Ramban lived in Spain. Rabban lived in Girona, in Spain. Mom was a cousin of the Rabbeinu Yoni Girona. So they lived in the same city in Girona. So the Rabban writes, he heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis, he never wore arba kams, never wore talis, because according to his opinion, you're not yotzi anything. We don't have any trelis, a trelis makevus is all of them. So why should you waste the time if you're not yotzi anything at all? So the generally accepted opinion is not like this Balamor who paskins like Rebbe. We usually assume that La Locha we paskin Tchelus Enem HaKevus HaLovan HaLovan Enem HaKevus HaTchelus. If you have all the four strings at Tchelus, so you're Yotze, and if you have all the four strings at Lovan, you're also Yotze. So this is a Shaila, are they one mitzvah or are they two different mitzvahs? Do you say Tchelus and Lovan two different mitzvahs? Is Yotze one mitzvah but he's not Yotze the other mitzvah? They say no, it's one big mitzvah and is Yotze in the mitzvah Shalom B'Shlei Musa. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says that Tchelus and Lovan is one mitzvah, and he quotes a Sifrei that comments on the pasuk Risa Malso is Chartem is Kal Mitzvah Hashem. How does it say Risa Malso? It says V'yosa Lehem Tzitzis V'nosa Tzitzis Akana Psil Tchelus. You have to have Tchelus and Lovan. So there are two different things here. So how does it say Uri Isem Oso? Why does it say Uri Isem Oso? So you could say, Urisa Moso, you should look at the color blue, the psil treles. The singular orisim oso, you should look at it. It doesn't say look at them. Look at it. Orisim oso goes on the psil trelis, because trelis is daimel arakia, rakia daimel akisi akovet. That's how the Gemara says. Orisim oso goes on the trelis, was chartem is kamitza Hashem. You remember about the kisi akovet. Or according to Dr. Tversky, orisim oso, you see the 613. You see the 613. Maybe that's why it says orisim oso. So the Sifrei on this pasuk has a comment that the Rambam quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Orisim Oso goes on the Trelis and on the Lovim. Goes on both. So why doesn't it say Orisim Osom? So the Sifrei says, all right, that is one mitzvah. That the Trelis and the Lovim constitute one mitzvah. So the Rambam quotes that the Sifrei. That's why I'm going to count it as one mitzvah. The Meforshim and the Rambam ask, how did he prove from that Sifrei that it's one mitzvah? Maybe the Sifrei goes like Rebbe's opinion. Maybe the Sifrei holds like Rebbe, Trelis makevis asalov, and lovim makevis atrelis. So if they're makvim zezeh, then it's one mitzvah. But the Rambam paskins, the ain't makvim zezeh. The Rambam paskins, Trelis and lovim, and not makvim zezeh. So maybe according to the way we paskin al halach, ain't makvim zezeh, it should be considered two different mitzvahs. That was the Rambam's rule. Tfilin shal yad, tfilin shal rosh, and not makvim zezeh, so we count it as two mitzvahs. And so we count it as one mitzvah. So according to the Rambam's rule, we should have said chelus and lova, not miakim zezeh. If you have a without b and b without a, you say so that shows that it's two distinct mitzvahs. And the sifrei that says risam ason the singular goes on chelus and lova together as one mitzvah. Maybe that's shaloi kalocha. Maybe that sifrei is alibi the Rebbe who holds that miakim zezeh. So this was the kasha that Rav Daniel Habavli used to correspond with the Rambam's son. Rabbi Daniel HaBavli was a dying in Baghdad. The Rambam's son lived in Egypt. So he has a whole correspondence, mainly over issues in the Sefer HaMitzvah. A couple of issues in the Mishnah Torah also, but most of the tainus that he had against the Rambam have to do with the Sefer HaMitzvah. We mentioned on different occasions. There was a separate Sefer that was printed in Paris in the 1800s that was paid for by a Sfardi by the name of Mr. Nisim. So the book is called Maisen Nisim. So that has the whole correspondence between Rav Daniel HaBavli and Rabbein Avram Ben Aramon. Rav Soloveitchik never read the title page of the Sefer. So whenever he would quote from the Sefer, he would say, I don't understand why it's called Maisen Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floor. It's all halacha. It's all halacha. It says on the first page why. It was paid for by Mr. Nisim, who lived in Paris. He was Faraday, living in Paris. And they called it Maisen Nisim. I'll shame the donor, the one who paid for it. So this is one of the titles that Rav Daniel HaBavli had against the Rambam. The Rambam himself says the klal, whenever they're not me'akim zezeh, shal yad and shal rosh, that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. And the Rambam paskins that trelis and lovan are not me'akim zezeh, so should have counted it as two mitzvahs. I this afraid that he quotes a reason also. So Rav Daniel HaBavli said, nah, that goes alibi the Rebbe. Rebbe holds the me'akim zezeh, but the way we paskin ain't me'akim, the Rambam should have counted it as two mitzvahs. So that's where Rabbein Avram Ben Arambam responds. He says, my father's klal that whenever they're not mi'akim zeh, that's a dead giveaway that it's two different mitzvahs. You have to take each mitzvah in the proper context. You have to look what you have. Shalyad and Sharosh are two different things. Shalyad is over here, Sharosh. It's all tied together. So not mi'akim zeh means you have one mitzvah, shalo b'shlei Musa. If you have both, you have a mitzvah b'shlei Musa. If you have one without the other, it's a mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. It's not an ironclad rule that whenever they're not mi'ak mizazeh, that it's two distinct mitzvahs. Rule of Manessek, mi'ak mizazeh, so that sounds like it's all one mitzvah. That half of the rule, that's very mistabah. But to say just because they're not mi'ak mizazeh, it always implies that it's two distinct mitzvahs, it's not necessarily the case. You can say that here, there is a Sefer HaChumash that was written by the Vilna Dayan, who was the Dayan in the days of the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen had no official title when he lived in Vilna. He was a private citizen. He was not the rabbi in Vilna. He was not the Dayan in Vilna. So the Dayan, he was bigger than all of them put together, but he had no official position. So the Dayan in Vilna wrote a Sefer HaChumash that's called Ravid HaZohav, the Torah Tmima, right in his introduction, that he used the Ravid HaZohav every so often. He used the Ravid HaZohav an awful lot. even when there's a misprint in the Revit Azov, so they'll have the same misprint. They'll say it's a Chumas Adesh and Sima Reish Gimel, it should really be Reish Chof or something. So you have Mamashi copied straight. That's a question how much he used the Revit Azov. Anyway, Revit Azov is gives Mar Mekoymus. And every Pasuk he tells you, look in the Yerushalmi, you look in the Gemara, and look in the Chumas Adesh, and look in the Taisus. Taisus has a drush on this Pasuk. So once in a while he has an original comment. So he has a comment on today's Sedra. Why did we decide to paskin that Tchelis and Lovan are not Me'akim Zezeh? Why? It's a simple Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. Rebbe is the one who holds that Me'akim Zezeh. Rebbe's opinion was outvoted by the majority. The majority hold that Tchelis and Lovan are not Me'akim Zezeh. So the Revit Azov has a drasha. The Gemara increases the Avtesa and Aleph says when you Mekabel Gerim, the procedure to be Mekabel Ager, a non-Jew who converts, has to be, we have to copy exactly what was done on the occasion of Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasina was the Gerus of all of Klal Yisrael. So we had Kabbalas on Mitzvahs, everybody screamed out Nasa V'Nishma, and then we had Mila Mitzrayim. The Mila Mitzrayim is not only to enable them to eat the Korban Pesach, but it was the Mila for the Gerus. Then everybody had Tefillah and the Mikveh, and then they had to bring Korbanos. In the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so you needed Mila, Tefillah, and Korban. So to the Dairais, you have to have Mila and Tefillah and the Korban. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. So then after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring any Korbanos, so you shouldn't be able to be Mekabel Gerim. So the Gemara explains that that's not so, because it says, so you see that the Torah says you can accept a ger in every generation, and so it means even in the generation where there is no Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the korban is not miyakev. That's the Gemara's drosh. So that's what the Revit Hazov, the Vilna Dain, points out here. It says we should put on tzitzis al kafevig name l'doyrosam for all the generations. Even if you live in a generation where there is no tchelos, you should still put on the tzitzis. So that's his mocker, that's his drasha, just like the Gemara made a drasha by the ger. Throughout all the generations, even if you live in a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash, you still can be mekabel ger. So here it says you put on tzitzis, l'doyrosam, throughout all the generations. It's not, the Gemara doesn't have this drasha. This is, the Vilna Dayan has an original suggestion. It's not exactly the same as the Gemara's, because in the Chumash, the Torah speaks about a generation with it. The Feirish, the Torah speaks about a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. In the Teichachem B'chul Kaisai, it says, V'hashimosi es Mikdashechem, V'lo yariach b'reach nichoichachem. So the Torah says there will come a generation where there won't be any Beis HaMikdash. And the Chumash says, V'chayogaritchem ger l'darvaseichem. In any generation, even a generation that we in the Chumash are talking about, I, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is writing in the Chumash about a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. He says he can still accept the ger in every generation. Here the Chumash says he should have tzitzis in every generation. It happens that there were many generations where there was no tchelos, but the Chumash never says about that. In fact, we were missing tchelos. But in the Chumash per se, it never speaks about a generation where there's no tchelos. It could be that this is not a valid drasha. Throughout all the generation, the Chumash never talks about a generation where there's no tzitzis. So it's not exactly the same as the Gemara's drasha that you can be mekabel ger afilu bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kaim, because that the Chumash talks about a generation where there's no beis hamikdash, where there's no karbonis.
Depends on what you mean by tzitzis. That it means love and alone is good, so that's tzitzis, you're mekabel the Torah, right?
So that's the machlokes hatana, yeah. Whether tchelos is ma'akev or not. But to prove it from the word of doyrosam, in all the generations, even if you live in a generation where you don't have both tchelos and lovan. Mm-hmm. So the Chumash, it happens that we lived through many generations where there was no tchelos, but the Chumash never speaks about that. So it could be that the drosh of the doyrosam is not the legitimate drosh.
The tchelos also called tzitzis, right?
Yeah.
They're all called
tzitzis. All called
tzitzis.
No, but he wants to, this Dayan wants to say, I think Rabbi Sochaber, I think his name was, so he wants to say that the fact that it says you wear tzitzis in all generations means even if you live in a generation where tchelos is not available, lovan is always available. You take the wool and you don't dye it, so it's going to be lovan. But the tchelos was lost, the chalozim was lost, so for so many generations we didn't have tchelos, and still the Torah says you have to wear tzitzis in every generation. So it's a raya, he says, that the din is like the chachamim, that the tchelis is not me'akid. So that's a question whether that's really a valid drasha. The mitzvah of tzitzis appears twice in the Chumash. It appears here at the end of this parasha. Then it appears in Chumash Dvarim. G'dilim tasa l'cho, alarba kamfus k'suscho, asher techase bo. Asher techase bo. You see, we are learning the beginning of Perek Arvei Psochim. So the Gemara has a comment there. Abai was an orphan. His father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth. He was the one who says how fortunate he was. He didn't have the challenge of observing Kibbutz Aviyeh. He didn't have. He says no one can really fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyeh properly. Everybody violates. So he says he was a Yosem. He had no father. He had no mother. So he was raised by his uncle, Rabbi Manachmeni. And he says, "Kol mili demar, my Rebbe, Rabbi always followed all the opinions of Rav, with three exceptions to the rule. Bar Mehan Itlaz, David Kishmo. There's on Kufala from now, that's what we're up to. So what are the three things that he followed Shmo? So one of them is Matir mi beged le beged. If you have a talis that has tzitzis in the four corners, and you want to take off the tzitzis. You want to take off the tzitzis. So now the tzitzis are functioning as part of a mitzvah. You're going to take off the tzitzis, and you're going to be mevatlet mi mitzvasoi. So you're not allowed to take off tzitzis from a beged and be mevatlet mi mitzvasoi.
It's only if
you wear it. Oh, so Tosis quotes, there's a machlokes in Menachos, what if I have clay kufsa? I have a talis in the drawer. Kufsa means a drawer. I have an arba kamfis in the drawer that I'm not wearing yet. I plan to wear it the next year. So, a clay kufsa chayovim mit tzitzis anan. So that's a machlokes there in Menachos. Tosis quotes Menachos daf mem aleph, where the Gemara's lashon is a tzitzis chayvas mona. Mona means the kli, the beggar. The beggar is mechuyev in tzitzis, or tzitzis chayvas gavra. It's only a mitzvah when you wear it. I remember the yeshiva once honored Shai Agnon, so they had some kind of a function in Lampert Auditorium. They gave him an award for his literary accomplishments. So he was a learned person, a learned balabas. So when he got up, they gave him some kind of a diploma. So he started kibitzing with it, a gavra or a chepza or a mona, and he started referring to this gemara, whether the tzitzis is chavis gavra, chavis mona. He had a good sense of humor. So the gemara has a machlekes with the tzitzis, klei kupsa chayovim with tzitzis. We have an arba kamfis that's in the drawer, I'm not wearing it, I chayvim tzitzis. So the gemara says, let's say I buy a talis and I tie on tzitzis on the beged. So do I recite a bracha when I tie on the tzitzis on the beged? So the Gemara says it depends on this machlekes. If klei kupsa chayovim with tzitzis, when you tie on the tzitzis, you're in the mitzvah right away before you even put it on. So then you should say a bracha over las yasam before you start to tie on. If you plan to tie on all the four corners, you should say a bracha on the tzitzit. But we don't paskin like that. Hilchas, the Gemara says, we paskin. You only say bracha lehisate b'tzitzit. You only say bracha when you wear it. When you have it in the drawer, it's not chayin tzitzit. So therefore, when you tie the chutim onto the beged, it's ein asiyasa gemar mitzvasa. You're not yotzi anything yet. It's just a hachana. It's like carving out a shofar. It's like making a sukkah. We passing, you don't say a bracha when you make a sukkah. So too, when you tie the chutim on the beged, on the tzitzis, you're just preparing a heftzah shal mitzvah, but you're not yotzi any mitzvah yet, so that's why the Gemara comes to the maskana there that you don't say a bracha. But Shmuel is of the opinion, it's a machlekes in Menachos Daf Mal, Shmuel is of the opinion, klei kufsa achayov mit tzitzis, ki wachayv in tzitzis. So the Gemara says here, Rabbah, Abai is commenting, my uncle, my Rebbe, he refers to him as Mar, he always followed Rab's opinion, except in three cases that he followed Shmuel. So one of the three cases says, whether matir me beged le beged. If you take off the chutim from a beged, you mevatel et mitzvasan. So you're not allowed to take off. What if I have two begodim? I want to take off the chutim from, this is an old worn out talus, I want to take off the chutim and put it on the other talus, which I want to wear. So then Shmuel is of the opinion, Matira mi beged le beged, you're allowed to take it off. So Tosfos Frekta Kasha, and Rabba followed Shmuel's psak, You're allowed to take off the chutim from a beged if you plan to put it onto another beged. Take off chutim from a beged just to leave it like that, you're not allowed to. But to take it off from a beged, put it on another beged, then you are allowed to. So Tosfos asks the kasha, what Shmuel holds, tzitzis is a chayvas mona. It's a chayvas a beged. Even if you're not wearing the beged, it's chayvas tzitzis. So why are you allowed to take off the chutim from this beged, put it on the other beged? But now you're not mekayim the mitzvah with this beged. That's what Tosfos asks. So Tosfos answers, even according to, you know, we all know the Karaim used to hang up a talus on the wall. They felt that you yotzei the mitzvah by having a talus, a reason also, you don't have to wear it at all. So we hold that that's nonsense. But there's one opinion and anymore that tzitzis is chayvas beged. So that's what Tosfos writes over here, the little Tosfos, matir mebeged lebeged on kufalav amanalav. Even if you hold tzitzis is chayvas beged, but everybody agrees that if you wear the beged, you certainly have another mitzvah. There's a chayvas gavur also. Everybody agrees tzitzis is a chayvas gavur. No one in his right mind is going to say like the karoi, when you have a talus hanging on the wall with tzitzis, you yotzei the mitzvah bishlei musa. Nobody says like that. We paskal halacha, it's worthless, meaningless, you accomplish nothing. The mitzvah tzitzis is only while you're wearing it. If you're not wearing the beged, you're not chayv at all. G'dilim tasil chol abba kamfes ksus chashe techase bo. While you're wearing it. If you're not wearing it, you're not chayv. That's the parsha in Dvarim. Here it doesn't say shetech hasebo. It says, it doesn't say only when you wear it. As the status of a beged, even when you're not wearing it, it's mekabel tumah. A beged is a kli. A kli is mekabel tumah, even if you're not wearing it. No one says a kli. A beged is only mekabel tumah when you're wearing it. Has the same beged even when you don't wear it. But there it says, only while you wear it. So even if one should assume that tzitzis is a chayvas beged, that when you have a beged in the drawer, you have to put tzitzis on, but everyone agrees if you wear the tzitzis, you have a double kiyum on mitzvah. You have the chayvas, you have the kiyum of the chayvas mona, then you have kiyum of the levishas on tzitzis. You have a double mitzvah. So that's what Tosfos explains. Shmuel is of the opinion that tzitzis, klei kufsa chayovim et tzitzis, it's a chayvas mona. But he has two talesim. And one of them he wants to wear today. The other one is old. He's going to leave it in the drawer. He's going to use it as a shmata. He's not going to use it anymore as a beged. So when he takes off the tzitzis from that beged, now he's mevatel mitzvah from the other beged. But he wants to put the tzitzis on the beged that he's going to wear now. So he's going to have a double kiyum now. The chi of tzitzis on the beged that he doesn't wear is only a single kiyum of chayvas mana. The chi of tzitzis on the beged that he's going to wear is going to be both chayvas mana and chayvas gav. He's going to do a levisha. Not just having his possession a beged of Arba Kamfes that has tzitzis, is going to be wearing tzitzis. So that's why Shmuel is of the opinion, despite the fact that tzitzis is a chayvas mona, they klai kufsa chayodim, moida, this he admits, the main tzitzis l'chol begodim, he doesn't have enough chutim for all the begodim, sheyat the tzitzis in beged shematznio, litim in beged shirotz alil, b'shtei mitzvah olo. Everyone agrees it's a double kiyum. So Shmuel holds that there are two parshias, tzitzis appears twice in the Chumash. In today's parsha in Shlach, it's the chayvas mona, and the other pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, G'dilim Tasalucha Shetach Hasabo, that's the chayvas agavra, the levisha of the tzitzis. And we paskin, they're not two different kiyum. We paskin klei kufsa not chayovim at all in tzitzis. It's only a mitzvah when you wear it. When you're not wearing it, then you're not chayv in tzitzis at all. Yeah, this is a.
So what do we need the two parshas for?
Each one is mashlim the other one. So here in today's parasha never says a four-corner garment. Just say you put tzitzis on all your begotten. So maybe you got to put on everything. So you need the other parasha. Alarba kamfas ksusta. Each parasha tells you on other some more details. They're not two different kiyumim. It's one din, and half of the story is written here, and half of the story is written there. You need the two parashas to blend in together. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk there in Dvarim. G'dilim tasa l'cho. So the Gemara Sukkah daf tesam and aleph. The Mishnah Sukkah tesam and aleph kotzim achlekes b'shamim b'silu. When you put the schach on the sukkah, do you have to put it up l'shmo? Well, not necessarily. Let's say a nochri makes a sukkah. A person makes a sukkah just to make shade. Made in the middle of the summer, a little treehouse or whatever. Made in the summer, not at all the shame mitzvah sukkah. So that's a machlekes b'sham and b'sil. We paskan like b'sil that you don't need asiyah l'shma. B'sham insists that you do need asiyah l'shma. Taisis there quotes the Yerushalmi, Taisis on Tesam and Aleph and Sukkah, quotes the Yerushalmi that this machlekes b'sham and b'sil would carry over to matzah as well. Do you have to bake the matzah l'shma, or is it not necessary? According to b'sil, that you don't need l'shma for hanochas haschach, you would not need l'shma for afiyas hamatzah. The Bavli is not so. We learned the Daf Lamed Hey. We learned Olig Mor Daf Mem. That of, everybody agrees. The Bavli doesn't have such a machlek as Bisham Mitzel. Everybody agrees that you need Shmura Matzah. Shmura Matzah means Asir Lishma. How do you determine which mitzvah needs Lishma, which mitzvah does not need Lishma? So the Gemara says there in Sukkah Daf Tezim and all, it's all based on Psukim. Everything is based on Psukim. So by Sukkah, it's a machlek as Beishame Bisil, how to read the Psukim. Chagasugas Tasa Lacha. So Beishame say Lacha means Lashem Chai Boscha, Lashem Mitzvah. Bisil say no, Lacha means Prat Lasukha Gzula, Shalcha. It should belong to you. If you stole the Schach, then you're not Yotzin a Mitzvah. But there's no din that you have to place it on Lashma. Yeah, what's the story with Tzitzis? So the Gemara there in Daf Tesam and Aleph and Sukkah quotes a Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Whether the tviya sachutim has to be lishma. I go to the store and I buy a ball of string. The string was manufactured by goyim to serve a string, to tie up a parcel post, to tie up packages, not to tie tzitzis. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and we paskin that tviya sachutim has to be lishma. So now there's a machlekes tesis in the Rambam. What does that mean? So what is that based on? How do you know you need lishma? So the Gemara says based on the Gemara Sukkah says it's based on the pasuk in Dvarim. Yedilim tasa lecha l'shem chay vascha. Whenever it says lecha, it sounds like you require lishma. You need asiyah lishma. So Taisvis learns the Gemara. Taisvis and Menachos learns that the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel only is: do you even need tviyas achutim lishma? Or do you say no? You only need lishma when you tie the chutim on the beggar, that they all agree you need lishma. Gedilim tasa lecha, l'shem chay vascha, when you tie it on the beggar. So we paskin, not only is that called asiyas ha-tzitzis, even the tviya, to take the raw wool and to convert it into string, also has to be done lishma. That's also called asiyas ha-tzitzis. And the other amor, Rabbi Shmuel had a machlek, the other amor says, no, that's not called asiyah. That's too far behind. But anybody say when you shear off the wolf and the animal, you have to shear it off, you have to have a Jew shear off the wool intending to make tzitzis out of it? Nobody goes back that far. So tying the chutim on the beggar, everybody agrees you need lishma. And the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel is, what about tviyas al chutim, the step immediately before tying the chutim on the beggar? Then in Shulchan Aruch, we paskan tviyas al chutim has to be lishma. Then the Ramo and the Darke Moshe on the bottom of the Torah quote some obscure Rishonim who say, you have to go even further back. Even the niputz has to be lishma. The niputz is when you take the raw wool, you have to comb it out first in order to enable it to do a tviya. So the Ramah has this chumrah that you have to have, some Rishonim say, niputz lishma. They sell it now. They sell tzitzits with niputz lishma. It costs an extra $50 and it gets torn very quickly. So it doesn't, I think it doesn't pay to be machmer. 1 year I was machmer, I bought it, and then it turned out. It got ripped within 1 week. No, they're batlanim, so they don't make it. They don't make strong knots. Then that's how Taisus learns. Taisus learns that Rabbi Shmuel, they all agree you need asiyah satzitzis lishma. But the question, the machlokes is how far back is called asiyah? Tying on the chutam on the beged, that's asiyah satzitzis. They even go back to the tviya, that's machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. We paskin yes. And then there's an obscure opinion. They even go back to the niputz, they're combing it out. But to go back further, when you shear it off in the animal, that for sure does need lishma. The Rambam disagrees with Tosis. The Rambam says you only need tviya sachutim lishma. Tying onto the beggar does not have to be lishma. Tying onto the beggar does not have to be done lishma. I think I once mentioned my grandfather used to be the shamus in Rabbi Peretzky's Young Israel. So my grandfather and I spent some while by my family lived. My parents lived in Philadelphia. So there was no yeshiva after the fourth grade or the fifth grade, whatever it was. There was no yeshiva for me. So my parents sent me to New York. I stayed by my grandparents. My grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. I tied a lot of the tzitzis on the shul stalesim. I was before bar mitzvah, I was tying a lot of tzitzis on the shul talisim. So many, many years later, I found out that I shouldn't have been doing that. That a katan al pidin is a labardas, that he can't create lishma. So that's a machlekes. The Rambam and Tosfos, where they're tying on the chutim on the beged, needs asir lishma or not. If you need asir lishma, so a katan cannot accomplish that. So that's a big machlekes.
A woman
is a machlekes in Tosfos. The Rabbeinu Tam came up with a chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam Gittin af memhem a days in the Menachos Oser. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as saying, a woman cannot tie the tzitzis because you need lishma, and a woman is not mechuyev. So whoever is any b'toiras cannot create lishma. So Tosfos is asking the Rabbeinu Tam, but a woman can build a sukkah. The Gemara says sukkah is gambach rakvash. Gambach rakvash is a Rashi Tevis. Sukkah is goyim and noshim. A sukkah built by a woman is good. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam answers. Yeah, sukkah doesn't need lishma. We pass like Vesilu. Anochas haschaf doesn't need lishma. So a goy can make it also. So a woman can do it too. But whenever you do need lishma, whoever is not the Torah, that mitzvah cannot accomplish lishma. So that's how the Rabbeinu Tam says. The Pashto says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman is not b'toras mitzvahs, tzitzis, ain't b'toras can't create lishma. So Rabbeinu Tam would not only pasul if a woman ties the chutim on the beged, she would pasul if you have tviyah done by the woman. That's b'feirish in the Gemara, you need tviyah lishma. Some Rishonim say not so. The Rabbeinu Tam only, Hagos Maimini on the Ram says, no, the Rabbeinu Tam only pasul if the woman ties the chutim on the beged. If the woman does the tefillah lishma, that's okay. So the hesbah that the standard achrenim give, the way they give the hesbah doesn't make any sense. If you say a woman is not b'toyrah, so she can't create lishma, so tefillah sachutim needs lishma. So a woman should not be able to do the tefillah sachutim. Rabbi Kivega on Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Panim Yafos. The Panim Yafos is a sefer on Chumash by the Haflor, by the author of the Haflor. Haflor was one of the rabbeim of the Chasam Sofer. He was the Rav, he was a Chassidish, he was Talmud of the Mezritch Magid. Mezritch Magid, the Rebbe Rabber, was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Mezritch Magid had a lot of Talmidim. He was the one who spread the message of Chassidus. So he had two brothers who learned by him, who were both invited to serve as Rabbanim in Germany. So one was the Rebbe Rab Shmelke. He went to Nikolsburg in Germany, and the Austria, where Rebbe Nikolsburg is. And the other one was the Hafloah, Pinchas Alevi Yishorovitz, who went to Frankfurt. He was the Rav of Frankfurt by the Yekes. So, and he has a Sefer on Chumash that's called Panim Yafos. So Rabbi Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch refers you, on Hilchas Titz, refers you to the Panim Yafos on the Pasuk here. He said the Shulchan Aruch quotes this machlokes whether a woman can tie the tzitzis on the beged or not. So Rabbeinu Tam has a chiddush that a woman is not mechuyev in tzitzis, so whoever is ainah b'toras cannot create lishma, so a woman cannot tie the tzitzis. And all the Balei HaTosfos disagree. They say a woman can't tie tzitzis. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes a whole chunk from the Haflor here, from the Panim Yafos, that it says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael ve'amartu aleihem. So why does it say keifa loshen? Dabel b'nei Yisrael ve'amartu aleihem is a repeat. And then he says, number two, why does it say daber? And then it says v'amarta. Dibur is usually loshen kosher. And v'amarta is loshen rakot. Like it says, kasayim elevesh yankiv esaged levenei Yisrael. Why does it repeat it? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, kasayim elevesh yankiv esyankiv means the women. So you should say amira rakot. You should speak to the women softly. V'saged levenei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael are the men. Saged is the varm hakoshim kigidin. You should speak to the men with a tougher language than when you speak to the women. So that's what the Panim Yafos says over here. It's repeated twice, like Kosom Levesank Vesagil Mene Yisrael, repeated twice. Here also, Dabel Mene Yisrael Vemartu Aleim. And the first time it says, Daber is Loshen Koshe, and the second time it's Yamartu is Loshen Rako. So the Haflor says, that's what it means. Daber of Mene Yisrael, tell the men that they're Mechuyev in Tzitzis. The women are not Mechuyev in Tzitzis because it's a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma. So tell the men that they should tell their wives that they should tie the tzitzis on their god. Dabel b'nei Yisrael kolin. The amarto aleihem. The husband should tell their wives that they should tie tzitzis. So he says, a mocker, a remez in the Chumash against the Rabbeinu Tam. You see from the parsha that the husband can tell his wife to tie tzitzis on the bed. But it's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch where the women can tie tzitzis.
Generally, what do we generally?
I don't know. Is it so common that women tie tzitzis? Ketanim tying tzitzis apparently does happen once in a while. Women tying tzitzis, I never heard. I don't know. I don't know how we pass them. The Chava quotes the two opinions. Yeah. In the middle of the parsha, you have the din of challah. Challah min haTorah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. B'vayachem el haaretz ashani mevi eschem shama. Min haTorah only applies in Eretz Yisrael because it's considered a mitzvah hatli ba'aretz. It's very strange why challah should be considered a mitzvah hatli ba'aretz. Okay, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, says so, but it's officially considered a mitzvah hatli ba'aretz. Bikurim is a machlokes hatanoim. It's 2 days in Tosfos and Bava Basra Daf Pei Aleph. Tosfos has two opinions. Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Bikur Yad Moscha Prat LeChutz Lords. That's the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Pei Aleph. Bikurim does not apply Chutz Lords. So Tosfos there Bava Basra Pei Aleph has two opinions. Whether Bikurim is only Noig in Eretz Yisrael because it's one of the mitzvahs that plays Baretz. Well, not really. It's a din. It's only Noig in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So Smicha is a mitzvah plays Baretz. Mitzvah Tlei Baretz means agricultural mitzvahs. Irani Dachas only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah Tlei Baretz. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. What else only applies in Eretz Yisrael? Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. A whole bunch of dinim only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not agricultural mitzvahs. So this is a machlokes 2 days in Tosfos, whether Bikurim is considered mitzvah Tlei Baretz. And it seems to be a machlokes hatanoim, where the bikurim is a mitzvah tli baretz. So here it's a pella. Why really should challah be mitzvah tli baretz? The Mishnah says beferish, if you have wheat that was grown in America and you bring it to Eretz Yisrael and you make dough out of it, that's chayiv and challah min haTorah. If you have wheat that grew in Eretz Yisrael and you ship it to America and you make flour out of it, you make cake out of it, that's only challah schutz lords. Shouldn't it depend where it grew? If it's a mitzvah tlei baretz, an agriculture mitzvah, should depend where the wheat grew. And the din is that it doesn't depend where it grew. It's a beferish and mishnah challah. If the tvua grew in Eretz Yisrael, it depends where the lisha is, where the kneading of the dough is. Where did you mix the flour with the water? You mix the flour with the water in Eretz Yisrael, even though you use flour from chutz laretz, it's chayv min haTorah, and the reverse. So it's very strange why we consider a mitzvah tlei baretz. Midrabbanon, they instituted the mitzvahs atli baretz. They instituted midrabbanon. So they instituted baratzas asmuchas l'Eretz Yisrael, and the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, they introduced midrabbanon. Challah, they introduced all over the world. So Tosfos at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, where the Mishnah says mitzvah atli baretz only applies in Eretz Yisrael, with a few exceptions to the rule. So challah is the exception. Midrabbanon, they introduced all over the whole wide world. The Tosfos says, what they do that for? Trumas and Mice is only introduced. I wrote to Sasmuchas Laretz Yisrael, so why do you introduce Challah all over the world? So the Tosfos says, because it looks like a Chavis Gavra. It doesn't look like a Chavis Karka. It looks like a Chavis HaGavra. So, and then Tosfos says, and the Jews were sent into Golos, and we were in Golos for 2,000 years, so the whole mitzvah of Challah will be forgotten. Kedesh lo tishtakach Toras Challah. So they introduce Challah all over the world. It looks like a chavis gavra. It doesn't really look like a mitzvah tli baretz. Chalas chutz lords, though, is clearly only with the rabbanon, and the Gemara in Bchoris Daf Chavis Zayin has a series of kulas, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Gemara has a lot of kulas in chalas chutz lords. The Gemara in Beitza has a little bit of a discussion in Daf Yud, different kulas in chalas chutz lords. So one of the kulas is that in Eretz Yisrael, when you're dealing with Shumas and Maisa, you're dealing with challah. You're not allowed to eat the tevel until you mafresh the chal, until you mafresh the trumas and maises. In chutz lords, they have a kula, oichel b'hoylech, v'hakach mafresh. Let's say I baked cakes or cookies, something that you chayv to me mafresh challah from, so you can eat all you want, as long as you leave over a little bit at the end, and then you'll be mafresh challah. There are a lot of bakeries where they're careful on kashrus, but they're not careful on hafreshes challah. I remember once I was talking to a woman who worked in a bakery, so she said, she thought I was crazy. Challah is only if you're baking challah. If you're baking bread, there's no hafrashas challah. She thought it has a shaychas but challah. It has nothing to do with Shabbos dika challah. Then it's yachayv to be mafresh challah and cakes and cookies also. If it's the type of a thing, hoy bachochem ilechem haaretz. If you ever say hamotzi on it, then it's called lechem, even if you just have a snack of cake and cookies. You're not saying hamoitziyana, but since theoretically it could convert to become hamoitzi if you cover a suit on it, then it's included in the din of hoy bachoch and melech mor. It's at yichayv in hafrosh
es chalam. When they make cookies, they take off chalam.
They're supposed to. So a lot of the bakeries are not mafresh chalam on the cookies.
What, so is it cooler, or if they're doing the wrong thing?
Most of them are doing the wrong thing because they think challah is only on bread. That's wrong. And some of them know the Or HaShulchan, which is Ashvera Or HaShulchan. HaShulchan quotes a Rabbeinu Yoina. It's a difficult Rabbeinu Yoina brachas, who says that on cake and cookies as a snack, you're not chayv in challah. It's against all the Mishnayos. Against all the Mishnayos and challah. The favorite is that you chayv in afrosh is challah and cake and cookies also.
So when we bake at home also, we should make up challah.
If you need enough dough at one time. You have to mix Isas Midbar. How much was Isas Midbar? Oimer Lagul Goylas. How much is an Oimer? Oimer is Asiris Oefo. So how much is Asiris Oefo? It doesn't help. So the Mishnah says is Mem Gimel Beitzim Chaimish Beitzim. The volume of 43 Beitzim. That's the Gematria Challah. Cheslam and Hay is 43.
43
Beitzim. Yeah, so the quote from Rav Henkin, he writes in his Sefer, in America, it's parallel to, he says, between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, if you mafish challah without a brocha, and if you use more than 5 pounds, 5 pounds of flour, you should mafish challah with a brocha. Less than 3 pounds of flour, you're not mukhiyev to be mafish challah. And after 3 pounds, is a suffix, whether you have the mem gimel beitzim. And after 5 pounds, then you should be mafish challah with a brocha. So the...
You could do it without a brocha no matter what, with doing cake.
A small amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, let's say, I baked cake and I put it in the freezer. The next day I baked some more cake, I put it in the freezer. Next day I baked some more cake. So now, all the cakes together add up to a shiur.
Okay.
So then there's a din of tzir of sal. If I baked on different occasions, I baked different cake, breads or cakes, and I put them all together in the same basket, in the same sal, so we pass on hasam and tzarf and lechala. So that's a modern machlokes in the last 100 years, whether the freezer has the status of tzir of sal.
Huh? A basket.
Yeah. Does it have the same din as a basket? Why? So some have this funny idea that since the refrigerator is plugged into the wall, so that's mechubel karka. And since it's mechubel karka, it doesn't have a din of a kli. Mechubel karka can't be a din of a kli. So it's only a sal and tzarf and lechala if it's put together on one kli. And since you always plug in the refrigerator, the freezer, so that's not called a kli. Other achrayim have, before they invented refrigerators, other achrayim have a different idea. That if you wrap up each cake or cookie in a different container, and then you put all the containers in the freezer, so that's not salman tzarfan l'chala. Salman tzarfan is if you have all the cookies and all the cakes in one kli. But if you have each one is in a separate kli, and you have all the kelim in one large kli, so that's not mitzarf lechal. That's a machlekes achreinim. That's a shaila. If you baked a little bit at a time. I wanted to mention before you go, on Sunday I have to give the shiur at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10:30, and then Monday we'll try to go back to normal. Normal is 10 to 11:30. Okay. Okay. Go gezun tehe. So this is one of the coolest that we have in Chalas Chutzla, Oichla Beholach, Vachkach Mafrish. You can eat everything as long as you mafrish challah at the end. There's in one place in Mishnayos that the Pharisee Yisrael writes that hu adinami, if you have trumas and maisris on maiser yerek, the Gemara says maiser yerek is only the rabbanon. So the Pharisee Yisrael writes in one place in Mishnayos that since it's only the rabbanon, so the din is echa v'holach v'achkach mafrish. Yet today in Eretz Yisrael there are more paskins than Yeridin. There are more paskins like the Rambam. The Chiyuv Trumas and Maisis today is only Midi Rabbanon. So that's what some made a mistake based on this, the Tiferes Yisrael. Remember years ago, a lot of the boys who were learning in Yeshivas and Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't trust the Rabbanut on the Hafroshes, Trumas and Maisis on any product. So they would buy something and they would eat everything till the end, and then when they left over a little bit at the end, then they were Mafresh, Trumas and Maisis. Assuming that this din in the Gemara, Chalas Chutzlar, Tzach L'Halach V'Achkach Mafresh, applies to any other case where the chi of hafrosh is only midi rabbanon. That's it. The very same Mishnayos writes like that. So the sefer Shmir Shabbos Kel Chasa, even in the first edition, the Shmir Shabbos Kel Chasa, he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael and he says that it's just not correct. It's a special kula only in Chalas Chutzlar. doesn't apply to any case where Trumas and Maisis is the Rabban. The Gemara has another Kula in Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Gemara has quite a few there. Chariz Dav Chavzayim. Gemara has another Kula that a kohen whose Tomei is not permitted to eat Truma, not permitted to eat Chala. It doesn't matter how he became Tomei, whether he attended the funeral of his father or he's a Balkari, doesn't make a difference. But when he gets to Chalas Chutz La'aretz, it's only also Lamisha Tuma Yotzola Migufa. Only if he's a Zav Zav, a Nidhi, a Lettuce, and Mitzora. These five are called Tuma Yotzola Migufa. But if he had, someone went to a funeral and he shakes the coin's hand. So the coin, the one who went to the funeral becomes an Avatuma, the Mace is Zavi Avaisatuma. The one who attended the funeral was an Avatuma. Then he touches the coin's hand, he makes the coin into a Rishon Latuma. So the coin is not allowed to eat Truma Deraisa, but Chalas Chutz La'aretz is Mutta to eat, because that's only Atuma's Mago. They only prohibited eating chalas chutz la'aretz misha tuma yotzala migufoy. If he has the mochomedika form of tuma, namely zabzav and nidioletis and mitzayra. But tuma's maganat. That's why the Gemara talks about, let's say, a kohen was a balkari, and then he goes to mikveh. So you don't even need harav shemesh. If he's a kohen gadol not the kohen gadol. Kohen gadol means he's an adult, and he has tuma's keri. So a kohen gadol should tava the carrier. If he goes to the mikveh, he's no longer a balkari. He's allowed to eat chalatz chutz la'aretz, even though he has tumas meis, even though he has other tumas. A kohen katan, let's say a katan is young, and he can become a balkari before a certain age. He just doesn't have any shichva zera. And teisha shana v'yamechad biyosabia before the age of 9, his name biyosabia, so he doesn't have any shichva zera. So a kohen katan, even though he's tamei meis, even though he's tamei tumas maga, other tumas. Let's say his mother is a nidah, his mother kisses him and hugs him. So he's tummy, his mother touched him. He touches a nidah. So he's a rishon l'tumah. The Gemara says a kohen katan who can't be a balkari, a kohen gadol should tava the kari, he's allowed to eat trumas chutz la'aretz. Special kula on trumas chalas chutz la'aretz, trumas chutz la'aretz. The Shachni Yerideya in Hilchas Chala raises the question, how come we never saw this in practice for so many generations? We never saw a kohen katan eating chalas chutz la'aretz. We never saw a kohen gadol shetovel carrier eating chalas chutz la'aretz. Why not? The Gemara says that it's permissible as long as he doesn't have a tuma yotzala migufay. Why don't we permit the kohanim to eat the chalas chutz la'aretz? So the Shach quotes a Maharil who says the following. There is a din midirabanon that if a man comes and he says, I am a kohen, so you believe him and you allow him, you give him Truma, give him challah, and you let him eat. He claims he's a kohen. Let's say a couple wants to get divorced. So the husband, they come to a rabbi. The husband says, my name is Pliny ben Pliny. The wife's name is Pliny bas Pliny. The rabbi writes to get. So in the Torah, the husband and the wife, and they want him to say what their name is. The rabbanon, they made a takana that he need hakara mi bachutz. You don't just take his word for it. Maybe this is the woman's boyfriend. And he's making believe that he's the husband. And he comes to the rabbi, he says, the rabbi doesn't know who they are. He comes to the bezin office and he says, my name is, and he says the husband's name. He has no identification. And then the wife has a get, and it says in the p'tur that the bezin supervised the way the husband divorced his wife. Then they go to a different rabbi, and then we miss out a kedushin for the couple. He's not the husband, he's a faker. So the rabbanon yechoshesh for that, and you need hakara min piachem. Someone else has to identify him. The Mishnah has in Gittin, the Mishnah has an example, a man was in a dungeon, the Romans put him in prison, and he screams out from the dungeon, I'm never going to get out of the dungeon, do me a favor, write a get for my wife and give it my wife, my name is so-and-so, my wife's name is so-and-so, ksov get lishti, and I make whoever listens, I make you a shliach, please do me a favor, give my wife a get. So the Mishnah says, you can curse from us, nafal pishen makirit, you can write the get even though we don't know who the guy is. So the Gemara says, well, what happened to the din? You need hakara. So the Gemara explains, the whole need for hakara ben piachem is only midirabbanan. And if you have such a shas hatchak, you have no breira. So b'shas hatchak kais from the noisim, afal pishein makirim. We revert back to the din derais. So the same is true over here. A man comes and he says, he comes after the war and he says, the Nazis killed everybody from my community, I'm a kohen. So I'm in Atari, he's believed to say he's a kohen. Midirabbanan, we say you shouldn't give him truma, unless someone else says, I remember he was a kohen. But strictly speaking, over here he says, I'm the only one who survived the gas chambers. Everybody else who knows me was killed by the Nazis. So you have no brera. So b'shas hatchak the din is, you revert back to the Din D'oraisa, you should be believed. So the Maharil says that the Jewish people went through so many pogroms, and in all the years since the Churban Bayis Sheni, so it's we're always in violation of that din. We're never able to observe this din midirabbanon, that you're going to have hakorim and piacherim. Someone else is going to identify who he is, because so many, in every generation, so many people were killed. There was always a kohen who came and he said, "I'm a kohen," and there was no evidence that he was. So b'shas hadchak we revert back to the din d'oraisa. So the Maharil says, so we're all in violation of this din. So he said that's why the minhag developed that we don't allow any kohanim to eat truma achala ever, because we're all in violation of the din d'rabbanan. And even though the Gemara has this clause, the b'shas hadchak, you revert back to the din d'oraisa. So he says, but now none of us will ever fulfill the din d'rabbanan. So he says that's why we've never heard that you feed challah to the kohanim. Yeah, I wanted to learn a little Gemara, but it doesn't look like we're going to have enough time. Okay, just on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that Rabba Abai says, "Call me the Demar, my uncle." Rabba always followed Rav, except for three things where he followed Shmuel. So one of the three was Matirim mi beged le beged. You're not allowed to take up tzitzis from a beged to be mevatel et mitzvos, but if you don't have enough tzitzis for all the begadim, so you're permitted to take off tzitzis from the beged that you don't plan to wear and put it onto the beged which you do plan to wear. Even though tzitzis is not a tashmish and kedusha, you can't say you morid the kedusha. Tzitzis doesn't have any kedusha. It's tashmish and mitzvah. But still, you're not allowed to be mevatlet mimitzvah. The same thing, let's say you're going to take off a mezuzah from a door. So the mezuzah has a status of, even when you take it off, it has a status of tashmish and kedusha. But while it's hanging on the door, then it's excited, the mezuzah is thrilled, it's fulfilling a mitzvah. It's involved in Avodas Hashem. When you take off the mezuzah from the door, it's no longer serving as a kima mitzvah. So the Gemara has the same din. You're not allowed to take off a mezuzah from a door, because you mevatlet mitzvah, unless you're going to take it off and put it on another door, like matir mi beged le beged. You take off the tzitzis, you're not allowed to take off tzitzis from a beged. But if you're going to take it off, al manas to put it onto another beged, then it's mutter. So to take off a mezuzah from one door, al das to put it in another door, that is permissible. But if I'm moving out of an apartment and I'm going to move to a new apartment, so strictly speaking, it's mutter to take off the mezuzahs of the old apartment, put them on a new apartment. That's like matir mi beged le beged. But the Gemara says in the end of Bavan Siyah that since the mezuzah is supposed to give protection to the person who lives in the home, so the guy who's going to, the new tenant who's going to live in, I'm moving out of the apartment, so the new tenant who's going to move in may be left without any protection. So that's not right. You shouldn't be responsible for anything happening to him. If he's going to be left without a mezuzah, he'll be left without protection. So that's why we have the practice based on that Gemara and the Bavan Siyah. Even though matirim mi beged le beged, matirim midelas ledelas, strictly speaking, should be allowed to, but you shouldn't leave the old home where a new tenant is going to move in unprotected without a mezuzah. Unless you don't know who the new tenant is going to be. They may rent the apartment to a non-Jew. The non-Jew may come and is going to throw these mezuzahs in the garbage. So that you're not allowed to leave a mezuzah in a mokum shein mishtam. Then you have to take off the mezuzah if they're going to paint. You got to paint on top of the mezuzah. Sometimes the paint goes into the container and it ruins the cloth. Sometimes it ruins the whole cloth. So the more correct practice is, if I know they're going to paint before the new tenant moves in, I should take down the mezuzah. I should take it down and not leave it there. They shouldn't destroy the mezuzah. So that's the one issue. Whether matir mebeg lebeged, so we pass on like Shmuel, mutter. Manikim in ner lener, that's a din in Hilchas Chanukah. You're not allowed to get Hanor from the Ner Chanukah. I'm not allowed to light my cigarette. I'm not allowed to light a candle to see from the Ner Chanukah. What if I want to light one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah? So if it's, let's say, we do Mahadrin, we have Moisev HaHoylech. So once I have the first candle lit, that's the Ikar Mitzvah. Now I want to light the second candle from the first candle. So the second candle is only a Mahadrin. The first candle is the Ikar Mitzvah. Second candle is only behind, so that's not proper to be madlik miner l'ner. But it means one person lit up one menorah, let's say he only lit one candle. The next guy has to light his own menorah, he's going to light one candle. So I want to light my one candle from his one candle. So my one candle is going to be on the same level as his one candle. It's not going to be a madrega alone. So that's what we pass on Shmuel, that madlikim in ner l'ner. That's not called also the shtamish l'orner. Also the shtamish l'orner Chanukah, you're not allowed to use it for other purposes, to read a secular book, or to light a cigarette, or to light a candle that you're going to use for reading purposes. But to light from one ner Chanukah, to light another ner Chanukah, so that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabba follows Shmuel, l'hokel. Madlikim in ner l'ner. And the third din that he follows Shmuel, l'hokel, is Halacha K'Reb Shimon B'Greira. Greira is the original machlokes of a Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, or the Osara Mutam. A person wants to move some furniture on the floor, and there's no tiles on the floor. So he may or may not cause a charitz. If the furniture was so heavy, and it just rained, and the earth is so soft, and it's a badois, and it's going to make a charitz, then it's a psikresha, then he's going to do a charitz. If you make a charitz, that's a malocha, depending where the charitz is. If it's basada, then it's a malocha of choresh, and if it's a babai, then it's a malocha bona. That's the Gemara. So if it's a psikresha, the furniture is heavy and the earth is very soft because it just rained, then you have to pick up the furniture and put it down. You're not allowed to schlep it on the ground. Gorer adam, eat the kiss of the sapsol, it's going to be a psikresha. But if it didn't rain and it's not so heavy, and it's not so clear, it's not so obvious, it's not a dead giveaway that it's going to make a charitz, it may or may not make a charitz. He's doing a pula hamuteris, namely moving furniture, which may or may not result in a pula hasura, namely making the charitz. That's the machlokes of Shimon and Rabbi Yudah. So we pass on like Rabbi Shimon. Allah Rabbi Shimon that dovah sheinu miskaven is mutar. Ubelvad provided shlo yiskaven lasas charitz. He shouldn't be interested. If he wants to make a charitz, then you're not allowed to. Taisa says that it could well be Allah Rabbi Shimon begreira. So Taisa writes the last line in that Taisa. It could be that there are Amoroim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon's psak, who would say you're not allowed to be gar meet the keys of this afsal. But not because Dovah Sheinu Miskaven is also. It could be that they hold that this is called Korav Lipsikration, Domi Lipsikration. Let's say 95% of the time, by moving the furniture, you're going to make a charitz. So strictly speaking, 95%, 98% is not a psikration. Psikration means that it's a vadois. But the Taisus in a few places came up and they coined a new expression, Korav Lipsikration, Domi Lipsikration. If it's so close to 100%, 95%, so with the Rabbanim, we should treat it like a psikresha. Ramban is unhappy. The Ramban of Machamas and Shabbos is unhappy about this. He says that they came up. He said they invented a new concept. Korv lipsikresha. Either it's a vados 100% or it's not. So that's what the Gemara says. These are the three cases where Rabba paskins like Shmuel, Lohokel. Then the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the whole institution of Shinim Okam Sarach Levarach. We say if you start drinking a cup of tea over here and you didn't have a mind to continue eating in a different room, and then in the middle you switch, you got to say a new bracha. Shinim Okam Sarach Levarach. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the whole thing. And the Gemara says we don't accept Rabbi Yochanan. Meisvei, on the top line of Kufal Hanbeis. Shinim Okam Sarach Levarach. The Gemara says, Tiyufta the Rabbi Yochanan. Tiyufta, right? He's against all the Tanoim. Everybody subscribes to that din. Shini Mokim is a new Achila. A new Achila, you have to say a new Brach. We said a few times, what is the Mokar of this institution? The Shini Mokim, if I start eating here and I continue eating in another room, that's considered a new Achila. And every new Achila needs a new Brach of Shalafanel. So we suggest that maybe it's based, called the Tikkun Rabbana Kain Deraisa Tikkun, maybe it's patterned after the Din Deraisa by Korban Petzach. The Mishnah says, if you started eating, let's say 20 people arrange that they're all going to eat from the same Korban Pesach. But 20 people is a big crowd, so there's too much. So they're going to divide it in half. 10 people are going to eat in this home, and 10 people are going to eat down the block in a different house. So that's we paskin, the machlog satanai, we paskin ha Pesach nechal b'shnei mekaymis. You can divide it in half. Ein ha oichal oichal b'shnei mekaymis. If I start, I'm one of them in Munim, I started to eat with this chabura in this house, then I don't like these guys. They're cracking jokes. I'd rather sit and eat with the others or Tamir HaChamim. They're going to talk and learn. So the Gemara says, Farfam, once you ate a kazayis of Korban Pesach here, Ein ha'oichal oichal b'shnei mekaymis. If you didn't begin to eat yet, so eat your Korban Pesach over there. You can eat over there. Just because you originally made up to eat here, that's not a problem. But if you already start to eat a kazayis, then you're not allowed to have a shinim up. So that's why we suggested, maybe the din is that we only allow each person to have one achila from the Korban Pesach. One achila does mean one kazais. If you want, you can have many kazaisim. But to eat a little bit here and a little bit in a different makom, that's already called shtei achilas. So maybe called the tikkun rabbanon came, the raisa tikkun pattern after this on the level of the raisa, there's a din here. Rav Shinei makom is called the new achila vis-a-vis korban pesach. So pattern after that din the raisa, and they made a din the rabbanon. When you have a shinei makom, you have to have a new bracha. Shall is, what if a person is sucking on a sucking candy? And he's walking from one place to the other, to the other, to the other. So I thought Rav Moshe was right. Rav Moshe says, if he continues to eat, how can he say it's a new achila? If he ate a little candy here, and he walks away and he wants to continue eating some more there. If he ate a little here, he walks away and he comes back and he wants to continue. So you stopped eating in between. But if the whole time is nibbling as he walks along, so that's not called shinimok. I thought Rav Moshe was right. So they have, they keep on printing more stories about the Chazon Ish. So they print that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said he remembers as a child that he was sucking on a candy and he was about to walk out of the room, and his uncle the Chazon Ish said, he walked out of the room, you got to say another bracha, even though he was sucking on the candy the whole time. I thought Rav Moshe's position made more sense. It was a hemshech, one big achil. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. But the neder, as I mentioned, Sunday I have to give the shiur 9 o'clock in the morning, but then Monday we'll try to go back to normal. It's hard to tell what's normal. Every day there's another yotzei min hakalal, but the klal is that the shiur is basically at 10 o'clock.